Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome with that fanfare from Modest Mussorgsky's Pictures at an Exhibition, which I thought would be appropriate, to our very absolutely positively very first show on exploring a crisis. And I'm very excited about it, and I think my co-host is too. You out there, Dan?
I am. I'm here. I'm very excited as well, too. Yes, our very first show. And I even learned a new word, ecthesis. I'd never heard that before until Bobby showed it to me. So we're already learning things. So we're very excited. I'm very proud to be here with Bobby. As she is, if you don't know, she was her name is Captain B2. She was actually in the Marines. My father was a Marine in World War II, so I've always been proud and. Very excited to meet anybody in the military. So Bobby, thank you very much.
Right. Well, thank you. I hope I gave you enough money to do that. Anyway.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. Well.
And
this,
the other thing I wanted
brand...
to say. Go ahead.
I was going to say that
ahead,
this is a brand new show about exploring a crisis. And the first time I came across that word, I was a little confused by it too. But a crisis, ekphrastic work. Ekphrastic work is a vivid and often dramatic verbal description of a visual work of art, either real or imagined. In this way, a painting can be represented as a sculpture or vice versa. A poem can represent a picture or a statue or a piece of music. A sculpture depicts a heroine of a novel. Under the right circumstances, any art can be used to describe any other art, and especially the rhetorical element, and standing in for the sentiments of the artist when they create their work. So basically, it's when you read something or look at something as an artist, whatever feelings or impression or inspiration you draw from that piece of art you're looking at, and you render it as a poem, and I'm using just poetry as our example because that's what we're doing tonight, that's ekphratic. That's a crisis. So there we go. End of school lesson. There'll be a pop quiz at the end of the program. So, Dan, are you ready
yes.
to roll? By the way, I want to thank Phil for allowing us to do this show. We're very excited about that. Also want to thank Pam, who is our technician in the back there, and we could not do this without you, Pam. So are you there, Pam?
Yeah.
I am, and I'm happy to be here. Congratulations on the new show. great to have you both on the team, and I'm definitely looking forward to an awesome night of poetry. So, and before you continue forward, you do have a caller if you'd like me to bring them on.
Just going to ask. Who do we have?
All right. And we have Gray. Welcome, Gray. Glad you could join us.
Oh.
Hi, Pam. Hi, Bobby. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Gray. Thanks for joining.
Congratulations on your new show.
Thank you very much. Very excited about it.
Very excited to be here.
Yeah. So let's kick this thing off. Let's, you know what? In honor of Pam and all the help she's been in the last several weeks, let's do Pam's piece first. So let
That's
me pull
a great
that
idea.
Up. Like, I think it's a good idea. But that's just me. Okay, let me get my. Oops, what happens when you refresh your screen and your screen knows that this is your first show and it wants to mess? Okay, so am I nervous? A little, yeah. Because I'm in the back of the marching band with the cymbals. I'm right up front with the baton this time, and it's a little nervous.
Hey,
so
nothing wrong with
cymbals.
They're the ones that keep the beat going and keep everybody moving. So nothing, but as a drummer myself, nothing wrong with playing those cymbals, let me tell you.
God bless the percussion section. Okay, I'm pulling
up
amps right now. Oh, I'm trying to anyway. I'm not getting any cooperation. There we go. It's always, it's one thing when you're sitting on the passenger side watching the scenery go by. It's quite another thing when you're driving the bus. Okay, here
That's
we
okay.
go. Ba-ba-ba. Pam, would you like to read that for us, please?
I would be happy to. All right. And, that's my poem. Okay, I wasn't expecting that.
Oh.
All right. A galaxy of jellyfish in a language of dreams. And it goes like this. A fawn-colored galaxy rising into an obsidian sky, pinpoints of kaleidoscopic gems splayed, probing woman face tilted towards the heavens, needing answers beyond the mundane, dream catchers woven upon a third eye opening, a mind floating through portals offered, a long throat exposed, the bite of a lover's hunger, and an eternal knowledge found. Her eyes are the stretching of candlelight upon a cerulean wall of cheekbones. Jellyfish swim in yonder regions of subconscious, bubbled lanterns, musical scribbles, speaking in a language of transition, guiding the seeker to depths uncharted. End poem.
Excellent, excellent read, Pam. Thank you very much. And I'm very interested in how you actually came up with this poem. If you don't mind, actually, if you want to comment on your own poem first, I'm guessing that you got this right from the actual picture, which is completely fitting for our show tonight. But I wonder if you can just give us a little background on this.
I usually prefer not to comment on my own poem first, simply because I like to hear what people think about me and watching them.
That's good. Yep, we will come back to you. No problem.
Idea.
Artist, and lady's choice, so that is not a problem at all. So,
okay,
Gray, we will go
what
to you.
I thought it was wonderfully read, Pam. And, you know, it's visceral, it's emotive, it's in-depth, and it paints a beautiful picture of the prompt. Wonderful job, Pam.
Thank you, Gray.
Excellent. And Bobby, your thoughts?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was a very ethereal piece. For me, it's very dreamy quality, very much like the graphic illustration there, with her face turned toward the heavens. You've got a mesmerizing cloud of color coming out, and I think Pam did a beautiful job rendering that beautiful color with her detailed metaphors. So I really enjoyed it. I think it was very nicely done.
Thank you.
Yes, I as well, too. I mean, it's just the picture itself is beautiful, and I think just the way you're describing it, in such graphic detail. I love how, to me, jellyfish is such an amazing. They seem like alien creatures. They're one of the most alien creatures I think we have on this planet. They're so different than everything else, and the picture and the way you describe everything to me with the colors, and I do love a long throat exposed, the bite of a lover's hunger, and eternal knowledge found. It just, you can read that in her face, basically, is what I see there. So I just think it's an absolutely beautiful descriptive picture. Absolutely.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah, I was just trying to, honestly, I've never purposely written an ekphrasis poem before. I'm sure I've done so by accident, simply because a lot of my poetry is written to artwork prompts and then takes in elements of the piece of art into it. So I'm sure by accident I have, but really what I was just trying to do is I was trying to describe the little details, like the smoke, that what looked like, to me, I first used the word smoke instead of galaxy rising. I had a fawn-colored smoke because it does look like smoke, and it does have that kind of, to me, that reddish-brown color. But then I thought, you know, with the black sky, what looked like a black sky and stars, it felt more like, rather than smoke rising, like almost like the rising of a new galaxy. And then, you know, like the way she stretched out her neck, there really is, and her face is up towards the heavens, as Bobby said. I try so often with my poetry when I write to art, not just to describe it, but to put in what I see, emotionally and, you know, in my mind's eye. And I really saw the posturing of someone who is not only seeking, you know, but also making themselves vulnerable, which is how that idea of, a long throat exposed, the bite of a lover's hunger and eternal knowledge found. So basically it. So thank you for the inspiration.
Absolutely amazing. Of course. Go, Bobby, please. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I really love that interpretation with the darkness in the background and the little spots of light right under her throat. You do get that very heavenly, cosmic feel to it, almost like she's seeking a transcendental knowledge by looking toward the heavens. I think it's a beautiful interpretation, and thank you for such a lovely piece for our first show.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a perfect example of ekphrasis, I think. Very vibrant, as MK Rock says in the chat. So where are we going next, Bobby?
Hey, next we're going to visit. We'll just start going down the board. Gray, if you don't mind, I'm going to pop you in a little bit later. But right now we have Sensually I Dream of You, Villanelle by Here in My Heart.
Excellent. And yes, we'll do you later, Gray, but I would love if you would read this for us.
Sure, no problem. Okay, this is Sensually I Dream of You by Here in My Heart, of Villanelle. My love, and I'll meet you in my dreams. In colorful dreams, all is possible. Oh, so picturesque is the month of June. In sweet dreams of our nature walks, there's a secret garden that we both love. Oh, so picturesque is the month of June. Flowers arranged in multiple of colors, bunches of love, a tulip and iris bouquet. Oh, so picturesque in the month of June. Ever-blooming gardenia, in a white dress, in treasure of moments we both share. Oh, so picturesque in the month of June. Your hazel eyes filled with so much love. You smile at me. I return your sweet. Oh, so picturesque in the month of June. Sensually I dream of you so deeply. I feel as kisses butterflies fluttering deep in me. There's a secret garden that we both love. Oh, so picturesque in the month of June, end poem.
Excellent read, Gray. Thank you very much. And Bobby, let's start with you. Thoughts, please. Bobby, are you mutating?
I sure was, and I was being brilliant too, damn it. I find it interesting, first off, that we've got a very traditional format here, a very traditional form of poetry being used with a very contemporary piece of artwork. I think the contrast and the juxtaposition, I think, lends for a very interesting comparison. But in the reading of it and the beautiful metaphors, is very rich visual imagery, very, very sensory. Flowers changed in different parts of different colors. The sensual, your hazel eyes fill with love. I think it's a very, very passionate piece, very romantic, and I think very, like I said, very interesting. It's been inspired by a very graphic, interestingly graphic and modern piece of work.
Thank you, Bobby. I thought the same thing. I'm thinking of almost an 1800s round type of music. I could see people kind of singing this, old time music. It seemed with that last line, "Oh, so picturesque is the month of June." It really felt like a song to me and a song of love. So I really thought the exact same thing. It was very, very beautifully done, and I thought really captured the picture. Pam, what are your thoughts?
I thought this was beautifully written villanelle. I really did like how, like Bobby mentioned, that, you know, you got a classic form poem done to contemporary art. I really like the repetitive line, "Oh, so picturesque in the month of June." That kind of like where the weather has warmed up, but it's not too hot, and the gardens are all blooming and lovely. I also really like, "As kisses, butterflies fluttering deep in me." That whole idea of when someone's not physically near you, but you remember their touch, you feel their touch, I think really added to the depth of emotion in the poem, and is very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And who did I miss already? I'm messing that up already here. Me? No, we got. Oh, great, great. You got to read it. We didn't ask you yet. We got to read it. That's who I know I missed.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was beautiful. You know, the secret garden hidden in the love of two souls is just a beautiful sentiment. Also, I really liked the repetition of "Oh, so picturesque in the month of June." It was beautifully done.
Thank you, Gray. Yeah, absolutely. This is very, very beautiful. It goes right with the picture, so great job. And next, I believe, we have a SoundCloud. Is that correct, Bobby?
Oh, I thought we'd move down.
Oh, sure. Whatever you would like to post.
Yeah, now we'll plug the SoundCloud.
Bobby, are you there? I think we're losing you a little bit.
Yeah, my phone was doing quirky things. Okay, we have plugged in next. We have Untitled by Unapologetically LMB.
All right, great. And I will give this one a read. So this is Untitled. I like to lie in dampened grass at dusk. Think back to when a red-haired lady with a deck of cards spread about her plastic checkered tablecloth told me green arouses fresh new growth, would create in me a fertile field, cleanse and soothe my wounds. As a juicy summer leaf succumbs to the autumn's brittle air, my edges frayed, I fell to earth to die. Pitted by a chiffon moon, a lunar-leading lady on the blackened velvet stage of inevitable night, flanked by patient tiny stars, her understudies waiting in the wings. I've shown you all my faces. Pick one before the moon shrugs off its chiffon glow and darkness claims them. End the poem. Beautiful, beautiful. And I would like to start with Pam, please.
Oh, absolutely. Wonderful read there. I really like Linda's poetry. Pitied by a chiffon moon, a lunar leading lady on the black and velvet stage of inevitable night. I like that whole personification of the moon and the leaves and the and also, I've shown you all my faces, pick one before the moon shrugs off its chiffon glow and darkness claims them. I like how there's this kind of exposure of self, but also an exposure, you know, and a personification of Mother Nature as this seasons change. This is beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Excellent comment. And Gray, what did you think?
Yeah, you know, I thought the poem was quite beautiful as well. You did a fantastic job reading it. But, you know, it's love me while I'm here and love me while I'm alive, as opposed to trying to after darkness has claimed bases. So I thought it was just a beautiful poem.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I did too. I mean, the descriptions, I think like Pam was saying, the descriptions of nature and the leaf and everything, it just really encapsulates the picture, I think, as well. As a juicy summer leaf succumbs to autumn's brittle air, my edge is frayed, I fell to earth to die, is really a very, very interesting stanza that we have here. And then at the end, I've shown you all my faces. Pick one before the moon shrugs off a chiffon glow and darkness claims them. So he's kind of taking us through all the different ways that in my opinion, that you can describe yourself with nature. Really beautiful. Very, very interesting, interesting poem. I liked it. Bobby, let's end off with you.
When I posted this particular piece of artwork, it stuck out in my mind because it is the only piece in the collection that's monochromatic. It's just green. All the others are very multi-hued. And this one was monochromatic. I put it in deliberately because it was monochromatic and wanted to see what kind of reaction it would draw. I find unapologetically LMP's inspiration through this. I think it's beautiful because she's talking about chiffon moon, which clearly it very much shows through the green with that chiffon. And what I thought was a very subtle a pick on her part was where I'm looking, everyone else has quoted this, and I'm trying to find it. All of a sudden I can't find it. It talks about, oh yes, I've shown you all my faces. And if you look at the piece of artwork, it actually has 1, 2, 3, 4, like 5 or 6 faces rotating around the moon and around that leaf, which I thought was a beautiful interpretation of that. And almost like the phases of the moon, you've got the phases of this face on here. And I was... pitied by a chiffon moon, a lunar leading lady on the blackened velvet stage of inevitable night. Just was really impressed by the interpretation of this particular piece of artwork. I think this is a beautifully written piece, very metaphor rich, a lot of visual imagery, very detail oriented.
Yeah, I agree exactly. I mean, the face is going, you know, you focus on the face on the left, but the faces are kind of going around, and they get a little bit almost obscured. I don't know if the artist did that on purpose. And then the interpretation of the words on here was spot on, I think. It really describes it beautifully. You know, and that leaf in the background of the painting, the dried leaf, like the poet describes here, is really interesting for him to put it on there because it is, you know, the green on the face, but then the leaf, it does look like a dried up kind of, you know, fall leaf. So very, very interesting. Great. Excellent. Excellent comments, everybody. Where are we going to go now? That is the big question.
Going to Mamiaw's piece next, which is Colorful Thoughts. And
excellent.
If you like,
if
I can read.
Yep, I was just going to say, if you could read that, that would be
sharing brain cells tonight, remember that?
Already, yes, absolutely. Good, well, I need some. If you can give me a couple here and there, I'll be very happy. I really need them.
I've got a few spare. Here we go.
Excellent.
We have Colorful Thoughts by Mamiaw. Synapses fly with the speed of light, flaring up instincts and free will, kaleidoscope feelings, burn and fizzle, all throughout the cerebellum and the cerebrum, igniting the menges, gray matter, does it matter? End poem.
Yeah, really interesting on this, and I'll comment first. So I do remember this. Whenever I read poems, especially for a contest, I honestly try not to look at the poet, because I want to try to judge them, you know, separately. But now I know this Mamiaw. This is really interesting, and to me a little bit of a different take than she normally takes, which I really really like. This describes kind of scientifically and philosophically and emotionally all together, all about thoughts. I really thought it was very very interesting, and I love the synapses fly with the speed of light, flaring up instincts and free will. It is really really interesting. I've thought a lot about that, about the the conflict I think that we have within ourselves of what are we doing that's instinctual? What are we actually doing that's free will? And can we actually tell the difference? So I really, really enjoyed this one a lot. Mamiaw, great, great job. And let's go with Pam.
Yeah, this is a strong brevity. I thought she did a great job with this, with those short, impactful lines. And I do like how, as you mentioned, it's scientific and philosophical at the same time, you know. And I like her use of the word kaleidoscope, feelings burn, then fizzle. And I like about that is it describes to me that way you can so easily get a high from being somewhere in the perfect moment in time with a person or with just having an exceptionally good day or exceptionally good moment, and then all of a sudden, bam, like depression hits you, the meaninglessness of life hits you. And I like that she ends in the question, the play on words, gray matter, igniting the menges, gray matter, does it matter? Just really thought-provoking lines there that they take the opportunity to play with language. And I think that's an important part of being a poet. So very well done.
Thank you.
Great comment.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, Bobby. Sorry.
I'm looking at the prompt, which is number three, a very interesting piece of artwork, in that it is a profile, and it has almost like fringe shooting out from the bridge of the nose, and it's just multi-chromatic, all different kinds of colors, and very short short bursts and strands overlaying one another, which I thought was interesting that she picked the particular style that she wrote this in. Almost it mirrors the way the colors shoot out from the face, and she's got kaleidoscope feelings, burn then sizzle. Again, I think her interpretation of the prompt was just wonderfully imaginative, and I like the fact that, like Pam said, the very strong brevity. It leads you through some interesting thought processes. The synapses fly with the speed of light. And then the ending, igniting the menges, gray matter, does it matter? Again, I agree with Pam that one of the great values of poetry is playing with words and language. And I think Mamiaw, and I agree with you, a little bit of a departure for her, but I really, really like it. I think she's done a fine job at this piece.
Yeah, and what I liked about what both of you ladies said was the brevity. You know, so obviously right in front of me, I noticed it, but just it's sticking out to me now that not only is it a brevity, But even the line, she used 1, 2, 3 words at the most. You know, it's very short, and she was able to get so much out of that. You know, it's very impressive. When anybody does that, it's always impressive to me. So great. I'm going to say a side note before we go to Gray. I'm seeing another one on her page that's called You Are Heroine. I'm going to have to read that one, ma'am. While I'm very enticed by that title. When we're done with this show, I'm going to have to read that one by you. That sounds interesting. But anyway,
Simon.
Sorry, little distraction. Gray, what did you think?
I thought it was a very thought-provoking poem. You did a wonderful job reading it, Bobby. But it's just a beautiful poem filled with, you know, thoughtful, insightful words and meaning. Igniting the Menendez gray matter. Does it matter? You know, with all those colors flying around, does the gray matter really matter? Just a beautiful poem.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you. Thank you, Gray. Bobby, any other thoughts, or what are we doing now?
Oh, no, I think let's sample our SoundCloud, see how that sounds. And that's Leave Me Love by Casey Day.
All right, is it ready? Is the link on the board? All right, well, I didn't mean to sound cut. I meant the link. Sorry. Okay, here we go.
Leave me, lover. I've said it all before that no lover could adore a soul that takes much more than it can give. So when you come to find that our love was always blind, I hope you look further and see your right to live. Your kindness I have known, but my heart's been overthrown. I'm all that's left once the blood has dried. So when you take your things and leave me the emptiness it brings, I hope you find your wings again and you fly. Far, far, far away from here. So far away, you'll never see my tears.
Excellent, Casey. Absolutely. Yeah, thank you for sending that in. Bobby, why don't you start?
Yes, sir. Well, I really, again, here's another very strong brevity. She's got it's an interesting piece of artwork in that there's just portions of a face, and it looks very somber, has almost a gears in the background, looks somewhat mechanized, gives you a very melancholy feeling, and that's the feeling I'm drawing from this piece of poetry here. I've said it all before that no lover could adore a soul that takes much more than it can give. But that the first two lines are absolutely riveting. And that should just set up the rest of the piece and the ending. Hope you fly, take your wings and fly far away so you can never see my tears. Very mournful, very, there's pain in here. And it's, she's drawn that from the artwork. I think it's a beautiful interpretation. As she talks about his kindness, but then she says, I am all that's left once the blood has dried. Again, some really stark and visceral visual imagery and such a very economical write.
Yeah, I agree 100%. You know, everybody can take different from that face, and after you read that and then look at the face there, you can see that, absolutely. Great comment. Gray, your thoughts, please.
Well, it was a heart-wrenching poem filled with love, open love and acceptance of just not working out and, you know, seeing her lover fly away and far, far away from her, so far away that she'll never see her tears. It was just a heart-wrenching poem full of deep acceptance and sadness.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Gray. Pam, what's on your mind?
Well, this is just a powerful and emotive write. I like how it's written in almost all couplets that really have a nice flow to them. And I like how she drew so much sense of emotion from that from that artwork. The repetitiveness of far, far, far away from here, so far away you'll never see my tears. It's like that whole idea of, you know, losing that love either by death or separation, and just not wanting to show oneself as being, you know, sad and vulnerable. You know, I also really like, so when you come to find that our love was always blind, I hope you look further and see your right to live. You know, I feel like there's this kind of sense of, you know, I hope that the idea that our love, our relationship has ended, doesn't make you feel like you're less of a person. Really just a thought-provoking right and very well done.
Yes, I absolutely. That was a great comment. I really appreciate that. Thanks, Pam. I always appreciate Casey's writing a lot, and I did love just the composition of it, the rhyming. She's very good at rhyming, and this one was really beautiful. Again, another one that really, to me, reminded me of a song. I'm starting to see a pattern with that, which is very interesting to me, how people are interpreting paintings into words that to me seem a little bit like a song. You know, it's all connected, so it's very good. I just love how the positivity of this, even though it's very heart-wrenching, it's very sad, the person, you know, that's writing this is kind of thinking good thoughts, hoping that, you know, this other person's going to be okay. You're not going to feel my suffering. You know, you're going to go on with your life. So there's still a caring about this person, even though they've left them and caused them horrible pain. So really, really just beautiful thoughts on this. Awesome job, Casey. Awesome job. And with that, we get to listen to another poem. So where are we going?
Okay. We're going to Stuck and Livid by Pixie 652. And before I forget your comment about the music, I was corresponding with one of the poets earlier today, and she did mention that she was also inspired by music. So when we get to that piece, I'll read her comments that she sent me.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Pam, would you be willing to read this for us?
Absolutely. This is Stuck and Livid by Pixie 652, and it goes like this. Formed by opportunity, by lavish, separated from her thoughts, decisions made for her without her, abounding in joyous color. But she seems trapped, restrained, a mask of emotional filter strapped over her face. Shouldn't she be enjoying this? On the inside, under the sand of tincture, like a weighted blanket slowing her. Her loss aches, her burden crippling. Taking care of children alone. She didn't sign up for this alone. It's not what she wanted, much less capable of. Keeping everything going, the business, so as not to disappoint the dead. And now she gives up, she retreats. Retreat to the place we all retreat to within ourselves, completely shut off. Not a word would echo from her mouth. End poem.
Read.
Beautiful read. Absolutely. Thank you. Let's go with Gray. Gray, what'd you think?
I thought it was a haunting poem. You know, it's being stuck in this place of where you don't want to be and what you didn't sign up for. And, you know, having to deal with that. And then she gives up and retreats to a place we all retreat to within ourselves, completely shut off. Not a word would echo from her mouth. How haunting is that? Just a beautiful poem.
Absolutely. Thank you, Gray. Awesome. Bobby, I know you have lots of thoughts on this.
How can you tell? It's all over my face. First off, I love the title. I love the title, Stuck and Livid. I mean, that is, there's different ways of taking that, but I really like it. It's very provocative. The first stanza, swarmed by opportunity, by lavish, separated from her thoughts, decisions made for her, without her, abounding in joyous color. What a contrast in emotions. And just that first stanza, you've got the word swarmed by opportunity. I would never have thought of pairing those two words together, but they've worked so beautifully. Separated from her thoughts, here's things that are should be a good fortune, but they feel like they're the first stanza makes it feel like they're weighing on her, and of course the second stanza, trapped, restrained, a mask of emotional filter. Like Grace said, very haunting piece, almost beyond melancholy. It's very mournful. Here's someone who the circumstances of life are completely burying her, and in this last stanza, now she gives up. She retreats into a place we all retreat to. So it's a very relatable piece. I think, and the piece of art that she's used as her inspiration, very different piece from most of the other collection. It almost looks like a watercolor, or actually looks to me like a mass of crayons that are melting. But it's got this very sad, very moribund piece in the center, surrounded by this morass of color and tangled color, suggesting a lot of tangled emotion. So I think the interpretation of the art was just bloody brilliant.
Yeah, so it sounds like the interpretation is, you know, the colors, right? Everything's bright, colored, vivid, but it's melting, right? Your world is kind of, you know, crushing around you. And I agree, Bobby. I found this very, very, very relatable, very universal. You know, I love just how it's just talking about how, I mean, we all have to do this, right? We all have to do the things that we have to do. We're stuck there. I mean, how many times have I woken up and saying, like, how did I get here? You know, I mean, my life is good. I got a nice family. I got stuff, but you know, I wanted to be a rock star when I was a kid. I want to do something else. How am I here with all these responsibilities? And what do? You know, not a word would echo from her mouth. To me, the first time I read this, I actually thought of my parents. And not that they weren't happy, but they're from the World War II generation where you do what you had to do. You did it. You did it with a smile on your face. You knew your responsibilities, you know, and there's a lot of people like that here too. So I could just see, you know, so many people that came to mind when I read this. So I thought it was very universal and really just a beautiful, thought-provoking piece. Excellent, excellent job, Pixie 652. Pam, you had the honor of reading it.
Yes, and before I comment on it, though, I would like to welcome Lou to the show. Welcome, Lou. Glad you could join us.
Hi, everybody. Hello.
Hey,
congratulations,
there.
Captain and Daniel.
Yeah, it's officially a party now.
Excellent.
Absolutely. Yeah, I thought this was a stunning write. I found it very intriguing. There was quite a bit of, first of all, I found it relatable, and I'm sure relatable to many people, about carrying the weight of a burden. And here the example is taking care of the children alone, being a single parent. But there are so many times people carry a lot of weight on their own of various types. And, you know, I think this the emotional impact especially comes through in that end stanza with, and now she gives up, she retreats to the place we all retreat to within ourselves, completely shut off. You know, you just feel the kind of the whole sense of this nervous breakdown, this retreating that this woman goes through because she's just not getting the help that she needs, and it's all become too much. So a beautiful emotive write and very well done.
Yeah, there's a ton of emotion in here, and I think it's a real tribute to the artist that, you know, you look at a picture and it can bring that out in the poet. Great. Now, Leah, thanks for joining. Did you get to read the poem?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. We'll get you next time. But now
Thank
we
you.
Are back to our captain and leader over here.
Okay, and the bus is now taking us to Aquamarine Eyes by John S.
Excellent.
And why don't we have Louie?
Oh, okay. All right. Aquamarine Eyes by John S. The day glow spectrum of yesterday's past fade in the regrets of a life battered and scarred. Rainbow colors dissolve in carbon black seeps into the steep grime of ingrained interference. The wounds etch the pain of the guilt and shame of a life broken. Only despair prevails. Yet despite dissolution, some glimmer of hope pierces the desolate pose, imploring aquamarine eyes. In poem.
Beautiful read. Wow, excellent. This one's absolutely very interesting, and let's go right back to our captain here. And what did you think there, Bobby?
Okay. Again, this is one of those pieces that when I posted it, it's quite a bit different from some of the other just the way the artwork is portrayed, and the eyes are very striking. You've got this rainbow of colors in a face that almost I interpreted by looking at it as a rainbow of emotion. And we've got the first lines of the day glow spectrum of yesterday's past fade in the regrets of a life battered and scarred. And the focal is definitely the aquamarine eyes. I think the way that that John S. has there's a range of emotions in here. The rainbow colors dissolve and carbon black seeps into the steeped grime of ingrained intemperance. The visual imagery that's on from that piece of and the range of emotions is listed here is just I think a very striking light. It's very visceral.
Thank you, Bobby. Yeah, absolutely. I actually love this painting a lot, so I was glad to see people writing for it. Gray, do you have thoughts on this?
Yeah, you know, there's a bleak starkness to this that is culminated at the end by a ray of hope shining brightly through at the end, through those aquamarine eyes. So I thought it was just a beautiful poem. Excellently read, Lou.
Comment.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. Yeah, absolutely. Pam. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, this is beautiful and emotive. I like that he focused on so much of this painting, you know, the different colors, the darkness seeping in. But I think what's most wonderful is that he focused on those aquamarine eyes. He noticed that they are the center of the emotion in the portrait in the painting, but and made it the title. And the ending line, which I think works really well for this poem. I really like rainbow colors dissolve and carbon black seeps into the steep grime of ingrained intemperance. You know, so much of what happens in our lives to us becomes ingrained in our memories and then shapes the person that we become. So just a stunning write and very well done.
Yeah, beautiful comment, Pam. Absolutely. All right, and Louie, you got to read it.
And for me, this was extremely deeply painful. It looked as if sometimes when you're in an abusive situation, your voice is silenced. So to me, when I looked at this picture, it looked like the emotions were being bled out of her. You know, the red, the scars, the black, you know, the blackness of things that are so much hidden. You know, for me, the gray was the questioning of, you know, like what, you know, like, oh, my God, what, you know, why am I living like this? You know, and so to me, this person completely drew out where the wounds etched the pain of guilt and shame of a life broken, only despair prevails. And that's what I got from it. That she was just bleeding out, and those colors were her life.
Wow, yeah, that's an amazing comment. Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, Bobby, please go ahead.
No, I was just saying it was a very, very perceptive comment. What you saw in that and in the poetry was very striking.
Yeah, all the emotions that are coming out. If I was going to write for this, which I couldn't because, you know, I'm part of the judging there, I would have picked this picture. I love this picture. And to me, it's exactly what John S. Put is what I was thinking, almost the same thing, where to me, this person's looking in a mirror. And it's just their life is kind of shattering around them. Instead of just seeing them, this is what they're seeing. They're seeing all their colors, all their emotions, all their brightness kind of just fading off into the distance, into black, and they're really questioning themselves. And it's those eyes, right, that you said, Bobby, are striking, that they're just they're staring at the picture of themselves, and this is what they're seeing, just a blackened blend of their life kind of, you know, fading off. So I love this picture a lot, and it was really beautiful, John. Very 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 descriptive, very very detailed. So great job. Awesome.
Question
comments,
two
guys.
Is what we used to call the 1,000-yard stare.
What's a 1,000-yard stare?
1,000-yard stare because the person is there physically, but they're not there mentally or emotionally. They're off somewhere else.
Ah, okay. There you go. Well, I am an expert at the 1,000-yard stare, and that's probably how I look most of the time walking around is probably that. So there you go. Okay, excellent. Where are we going to now?
We're going to go to Time Stand Still by Poetess Queen.
Excellent. And I can give this one a read. I haven't read one in a little bit. I'm going to pretend that this is named after a Rush song since it's my favorite band, but at any rate, it probably isn't. So let's read this. Time Stands Still. Like clockwork's inner moorings of my mind mechanized, I pictured his manliness upon a kaleidoscope prism, radiating, thoughts dripping upon canvas as if I savored the flavor of each colorful prism shimmered. I dipped my paintbrush in as I sat, in deep thought of his masculinity overwhelming me as I studied his colorful physique, drifting, turning, ticking every minute before me, gasping in the mist of him every hour to the hour, my inner clock tick-tocks as the mechanisms of him winds and unwinds. When a teen's hip stem erected with a gentle turn of the hour hand, and the minute of him revealed the colors of him and I within. End poem. Excellent. I hope a man reading that didn't ruin it for anybody, but it was a beautiful poem. I think it was meant more for a woman. I should have looked at that, but that's okay. Hey, you know.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, but let's go to Gray.
Yeah, you know, you did a wonderful read on that, Dan. And the poem is, you know, it's filled with this clock ticking and how much deep thought it brings to her of his colors and then finally her and him within. And I thought it was just beautifully done.
Excellent, Gray. Yeah, absolutely. Liu, what are you thinking?
Well, can you hear me, Daniel?
Yes.
Okay. For me, this, after reading this poem, it made me go look at the picture several times. It's very deep in sensuality. Her eyes are so black that it looks like she's in such deep thought, that overwhelming, where you cannot just stop thinking about somebody. She talks about the clockwork. You could just literally hear and see the cogs moving as she's looking up and down of this person that she's deeply in love with, you know, where she says it's the deep thought. And I thought that it caught that look in her eyes and the frozen muscles on her face where it looks like she's breathing heavily, softly outward, where she says the thoughts dripping upon canvas as I savor the flavor, each color prism shimmered. I dipped my paintbrush in as I sat, and you can just see at least for me, the sensuality of her face and her lips. It went actually a lot deeper than I would have not written that, but now that I read this poem, I can actually see it.
Excellent comment. Yeah, and that's the interesting thing about, I think, interpretations, especially of any kind of art, is everybody has different ones, right? And you can kind of get turned on mm-hmm. to the different ways people look at things. So great comment. Awesome. Pam.
Yeah, this is just absolutely beautiful, a wonderful central rite. And I have to, I like what Lou had to say about how the rite makes you look at the painting differently. And I think that's just a wonderful thing about poetry and artwork, as you were saying, as we have that opportunity to see things through someone else's eyes, how to see it. I like how she has the separating the stanzas, the one or two words like radiating in deep thought of gasping in, when it gives us a great sense of pausing to linger upon the words and to upon the thoughts of a lover. Just a wonderful, seductive rite and very well done.
Excellent. Thank you, Pam. And Bobby.
I agree with Pam. The way it's structured does give you a pause in there that gives emphasis to the next stanza, and rather than rushing through it, it's almost like a rhythm, like a sine wave, an ebb and flow of the emotions. And I love Louis's comment on this and how with the piece that was inspired by this artwork, the piece itself inspires you to go back and look at the prompt, at the artwork, and see it through another person's eyes, this is one of the examples, I think Pam had talked about this, where on one of the other shows, where you've got a piece of artwork that more than one person has written to, and yet the interpretations, the inspiration they draw from the same piece is so strikingly different that makes for a wonderful contrast in how different poets will see or view the same piece of work as it's colored through their life filters, their own personal prism. And I think this is a great example of that, and because of the artwork itself, and not only is it very sensual, but you've also got this slightly mechanized, it's almost a biomechanical piece, because it's got the gears in the back ever so slightly, ever so subtly in the piece, that you have to really strain to see them. So I think this is a really remarkable piece. I think it's a wonderful rite, very sensual and very imaginative.
Yeah, I did too, and I love the title of Time Stands Still, and I think about that sometimes. You really, you know, when you're with somebody and it's just magical and you're just so into it, the time doesn't really matter, you know. And I can see that in this as well too. And you know, so far I don't know if we've had two or three, but we've definitely had this one. I believe Casey did her interpretation. So really interesting to see the two kind of different interpretations of the thoughts, you know, of this woman in the painting. So that's interesting so far. Excellent, great. Where are we going to now?
To, if my cursor will behave itself.
Bobby?
Here.
I wanted to let you know that Salwa has joined us. Welcome, Salwa.
Hi, Salwa.
Join us.
Hello,
hey,
everyone.
Salwa.
Hello, congratulations.
Salwa.
Congratulations for your first show.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Nope.
Thanks, Salwa.
Hello, Danny. Everyone. Thank you,
Dan. Thank you for... as a piece for this evening, and so as soon as we get through, get through this next one, we'll have to throw some of those out there and let our guests read their pieces. So we're going to go now to, let me paste this up there. We have Watercolor Woman by Kay Heartless.
Yeah, and let's get. Pam to read that. I do want to comment, though, Frank somehow is on the board here chatting, and he says he's at a banquet at the same time. I'm not sure how you're doing that,
yes.
Frank, but I appreciate you joining in. Thanks for playing with us. I don't know how he's doing both things, but...
You know how he's doing it? He's channeling his feminine side.
Ah, that's
what you're doing. Oh,
my That's right. Well, thanks, Frank. Hey, turn your radio up and crank. Let everybody at the banquet listen to us tonight. We'll be the entertainment for you. Who are we not going to yet? I think, what did I say, Pam? Yeah, Pam, we can get you to read this one, and then we'll get Salo to read one next.
All right. So I'm reading this one by Kay Heartless.
If you don't mind.
That's absolutely fine. I'd be happy to. Watercolor Woman by Kay Heartless. And it goes like this. Tell me about your first, but she was a pathetic palette love. A watercolor woman with drip-dry, bluish eyes, oversaturated skin, sea-sponge cheeks, and dramatic eyebrows, likely salon-dyed. You roll your eyes. But seriously, Buttercup, she was one of God's messy mistakes, a fragile first flower of my sexual spring, taken in easily by a cold, hard-pressing, a faint, frosty memory. Her skin barely contained coloring. You hold up my phone, scream, liar. I looked at her images, and they engorge me. Even in the abstract, she is art, her pixelated appearances, aquarelle hair, her perky pigments please me. I clear my head, reply, I was but a weak, suspended affair. The tenderness was barely there. I stare as I delete. Pick after pick, I feel it. There's wetness now, but it won't stick. And I pause to remember her watercolor thighs. One more swipe, her petals plucked, my favorite flower dried. The memories barely held color dear. I see graphite in your gaze, a mouth of masking tape, which worries me. This, too, will saturate. End poem.
Amazing
read,
Cam. Thank you. Absolutely, it's amazing the passion and the emotion that everybody's really getting out of these paintings. So I like it. That's been really a great theme all throughout the show so far. Salwa, your thoughts?
I feel like someone who's angry at someone having an affair. I like this exchange of dialogue. You're talking. Remember what she said. And how she called him liar, but he's still, what he really thinks of her in the second stanza, this memory, was just an affair. I don't know if it's a woman who wrote this or a man, it really depends who wrote it, but if it was a woman, she's just remembering her, whoever had an affair with someone and lying about it. I was but weak, suspended affair, the tenderness were barely there. I stare, that's what men would say when they have an affair. So, literally she brought it to life. I mean, how many people had to go through this? But again, it depends who wrote it. I'm not sure. That's what I see here. But beautifully done, and how she painted her like a paint, not beautiful paint, because she's angry and jealous of this affair.
Excellent, excellent comment. Let's go to Gray.
I thought it was wonderful, right? You know, it really takes you into this relationship between a man and a woman and somebody from their past. I see graphite in your gaze, a mouth of masking tape, which worries me. This too will saturate. Yeah, just a haunting poem filled with that fabulous imagery and emotions.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Lou, you.
This photograph actually made me think. They're talking about an affair, whether it's an actual affair or just the affair. But some of the colors are muted, and some of the colors are very strong. And it's like she's looking back in reflection, remembering this woman, and some of the memories are just so strong that the strength of the colors show through. And then there's the light blue and the light grays that are kind of muted and not full. Like when you're looking back at your memories where she's thinking about her messy mistakes and her personality, and it says, you know, that it, all these different facets of her, you know, that she loved it. She loved that. She loved her perfection. She loved her imperfection. And she says, you know, she says, even though this was suspended, she says, the tenderness was barely there. I stare, and it just to me is like she's looking back at all the memories, good and bad, and some that she could just be lying to herself, or it's just hazy. She can't remember the details.
Yeah, it's really interesting. The muted colors and the stained glass kind of look on this is definitely very, very interesting perspective. Bobby, I bet you have a lot of thoughts on that as well. If you're not in mutating mode.
I am.
She might be a mute.
Look at it again.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be polite. I'm trying to, you know, be, you know, like Pam says, be polite. And I keep forgetting I'm on mute.
Uh-huh.
Oh, dear. I like the way that the poet has interpreted this piece. Like you said, it has a kind of stained glass quality in it, I think. And I'm listening to the comments, and I really am struck by some of the things that our guests are saying. Like Lou, you said that some of the colors are very striking, and some of them are very muted. And the head on, the straight on gaze that this piece has is different from most of the other pieces, which are in profile or three-quarter view, and this one is looking directly out of the canvas at you. And so it's almost like it's ignoring the fourth wall and looking at the viewer and suggesting some thoughts that the writer here seems to have picked up on. I also noticed that this is one of the first pieces I've seen some very deliberate artistic references in here with the title, Watercolor Woman, and the second line, she was a pathetic palette, a watercolor woman, oversaturated, and you've got in aquarelle hair, which in aquarelle, actually, I had to look it up, is a painting made by using an aquarelle style, which is transparent watercolors. So I thought it was a very subtle reference to a technique of art within the piece itself, so I was impressed. I was impressed by that, and but again, very as other people have said, there's someone talking about an affair here, and the anger and felt by it. And I like the fact that you had read it, and. I like the fact that I think maybe it should be a woman reading it, but when you read it and I listened to what you were saying, it doesn't necessarily have to track. One of the reasons I really like this piece is it is not gender specific. It talks about she was pathetic, but, you know, who her, it could be anything. I really think that appeals to me, that neutrality of the viewer. So I think this is a really, really well-executed piece, very well done.
Yeah, what Salwa was saying, you know, she's not sure if it's a man or a woman. I was kind of getting that a woman was thinking about the other woman that happened. So, yeah, it's interesting. And the eyes, now that you've said that, with the eyes facing forwards, I can't stop looking at her staring at me. I have to actually get it off the screen because she's freaking me out a little bit. So I guess those eyes are, like, staring at me now. Like, I didn't do it, I promise. Stop. I'm feeling, she's making me feel guilty. But yeah, Pam, you did read that beautifully, and I don't think we had you comment yet.
Not yet, and I'd be happy to. Yeah, there's something about this painting that has a very almost Picasso-like feel to it, and it really impresses me on how Kay was able to draw a story from a painting of a woman staring forward. And I think it's because within the face you can see kind of a sense of anger and disappointment. And I don't really get the idea that this is necessarily an affair, but that the idea that somebody keeps on their phone pictures of an ex. And, yeah, I like how, to me, there's actually kind of a bit of dark humor in this because she opens up about your first. And then you got what I assume, although it's not, as you said, gender-specific, the guy saying, well, you know, she meant nothing to me. She wasn't as beautiful. She wasn't as stunning, you know, as you. And so kind of excuses, but it's also the question asked that you regret. If you don't want to hear about your significant other's first sexual experience, first love, if you know, don't ask. You know, don't ask questions that you don't want to know the answer to.
That's
so, and but yeah, this is just a really creative write all the way through, and very well done.
Excellent, Pam. Thank you. Thank you. Where to now, Captain? She's mutating again. She's got a mutation issue.
I'm trying to be polite. I like Pam's comment toward the end. It reminded me of my first hard-learned aphorism: do not ask the question if you are not prepared for the response. Hey, let's get Gray to read his piece for.
Good idea.
Okay, this is called An Indomitable Sigh by Gray Eye Smith. Their spirits traveled across the cosmos, bound by an indomitable mist of love and the deepest respect, timelessly woven into the fabric of existence. They were inseparable together as one, like the moon reflecting the sun, or the clouds drifting through the sky. They are bound by an indomitable sigh, free, together, locked in love. Neither push nor shove could separate their fit like a glove, uplifted by the wings of a dove. End poem.
Great read, Gray, absolutely. And, yeah, this is very, very beautiful. I mean, I think you encapsulated the picture immensely where it's, you know, you've taken love and brought it into the cosmos. That it's a love forever. So very, very beautiful, beautifully done. Sala, your comments.
Oh, I love this one. Heart-melting words, Gray. You laced the nature love between two souls. You can feel it profoundly in every word and every imagery. I love they are inseparable as one, yet be together locked in love. How beautiful is that? Really beautiful. Much more than this, I'll give chance to others to comment because there's so many beautiful imagery.
Thanks, Sala. Yeah, absolutely.
My pleasure.
Blue you.
Yeah. He would pick a word that untwists me. I really loved that first stanza. I thought it captured the beauty of the picture above. It says, their spirits travel the cosmos, bound by an indomitable mist. I just thought, you know, the swirling, the existence outside the realm where one can feel the other. And it says, and they felt each other through love and deep respect. And it says that this has been woven into the fabric of existence, the time of your prior lives where you have been with somebody else and the tie was always there. This was beautiful. Beautiful, Gray.
Thank you, Lou.
And Pam.
Yeah, this truly is a beautiful. I like how you saw within the connection between two. There's not just a physical connection, an emotional connection. I really like bound by an indomitable mist of love and the deepest respect. So it's not just about love. It's not about shallow admiration. It's about a mutual respect shared. Absolutely a beautiful piece, all the and very well done.
Excellent comment,
thank
Pam.
You.
Thank you. And we'll go to Bobby, and then Bobby can pass it off to Gray if he'd like to comment on, say anything about his own poem. So, Bobby.
Well, I like, Gray, I like the way you place, you use the word indomitable, and almost in different senses, because I'm looking at the definition, impossible to subdue or defeat, which, and then in your first stanza, you've got bound by an indomitable mist, and then they are bound by an indomitable sigh. And in the first one, we have something, a physicality, a mist. But in the second one, we have a sound, we have an utterance, we have an emotion, bound by an indomitable sigh. And I like the juxtaposition of the two different ways in the same descriptor. Beautifully written. You give it a very transcendental quality to this very romantic piece. That you've taken a romantic love and you've elevated it to something a bit more, to something more ethereal. Beautifully written. Thank you for contributing this to us this evening.
Absolutely. I was happy to. Thank you.
And did you want to say anything about your poem at all, Gray?
Not really, no. Thank you. I appreciate that, though.
Yeah, no problem at all. And where are we going next?
We've got a crop of very humble poets tonight. No one wants to talk about their stuff. I hear Saul was tittering in the background, so I'm going to pick up Saul with, and you can run, but you can't hide, Saul. Okay, let's grab it. Plug it in. And here we go. And bum-ba-da-ba. Let's have Saul rehearse, please.
Okay. How do you want me to go with it?
Did you post the work in here? It's...
Excuse me?
We have a SoundCloud for this.
Yes, please.
Oh, yeah.
If you would, that would be easier. Thank you.
I don't know if I gave it to Phil.
If not, it's okay.
Yeah, I think
that's
you posted
fine.
One by I Love Poems.
Otherwise,
yes.
I can read it. No problem.
I Love Poems is Salwa.
Oh, it is. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes.
My ignorance.
Yes. Yes.
It's okay.
We do have the SoundCloud if you prefer that to be played, Salwa. Otherwise, you can go ahead and read it. It's up to you.
Yes, please play it, please. Thank you.
Okay, no problem. Here we go.
I lost one at an hour where I know a whole woman in an hour where the dark night veiled the stars, religious soul wandered in silence, immersed her tender emotions, the wave of her limpid heart, the impulse of her sighs echoed the sound of soft light, froze leaves, until the golden dew of dawn blazed her dreamy eyes. Une heure, une nuit noire, a voilé les étoiles, une âme mélodieuse errait dans le silence, a trempé ses tendres émois dans l'onde de son cœur limpide, l'élan de ses soupirs résonna le bruit d'un doux vol de feuilles et de roses, jusqu'à la rosée dorée de l'aube a scintillé ses yeux rêveurs, momento in cui la notte oscura velava le stelle, un'anima melodiosa vagava in silenzio, ha immerso le sue tenere emozioni e l'onda del suo cuore limpido, l'impulso dei suoi sospiri, echeggiò il suono di un dolce volo, con il suono un dolce volo di foglie di rosa, fino alla rugiada dorata dell'alba, abbriato si occhi sognanti, and the storm.
Nobody reads
absolutely.
Like you, Zola.
No, absolutely. And I can never tell if just the actual poem is as beautiful or just me hearing it in French and Italian. Just the words, absolutely beautiful read. I loved it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, let's go with Gray. Gray, your thoughts.
You know, it's a beautiful poem about somebody's personal experience in a day, and I thought it was beautifully expressed. At an hour where a dark night veiled the stars, a melodious soul wandered in silence. You know, that's just haunting. Beautiful Ray. Excellent read.
Thank you so much,
absolutely.
Gray.
Thanks, Gray. Absolutely. And Lou, what's happening?
Yeah. Can you hear me, Daniel?
Yes.
Okay, good, because I'm really bad with my mute button. For me, I thought that Sala captured the emotions of memories of looking back. You can see the tranquility, you know, like for me, it's like there's a butterfly in the back of her head, those memories that are flooding that she's looking into deeply, and it's like it's washing her over the way that she feels all her, like she says here, her tender emotions, you know, that you could almost see the waves at the beating of her heart as she's recollecting everything. I thought this was beautiful, Sala.
Oh, thank you so much. Beautiful, Lou.
Yeah, I agree with what you said, Lou. You know, immersed her tender emotions is, you know, this picture is not as you know, vivid, like, with the it's just more a blend of colors where you can actually see a face as opposed to a really striking face on there, and that immersed in emotions, you captured it beautifully. Absolutely. Pam, how are you doing?
Oh my goodness, this is just an absolutely beautiful brevity. I really like the phrase, a melodious soul, and immersed her tender emotions in the wave of her limpid heart, you know, until the golden dew of dawn blazed her dreamy. I like how this is that idea of that special kind of spirit, that special kind of soul that dreams and feels in bright and emotive colors. It's beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you so much, Pam.
Excellent, Pam. Thank you. And did you want to say anything about your poem before we have Bobby's comments and get her to the next one? Do you want to say anything, Sala?
I'm going to pass too, sorry. I'm just going to pass.
That's okay.
Thank you.
No problem. Everybody's so humble tonight. I like it. We're not a problem. So, Bobby, all back to you to comment and take us to the next one.
Yes, I like very much your interpretation of the picture that you selected to write to. When I saw the butterfly in there, I thought, oh yes, that's you cleave to nature. It's very much, it's always reflected somehow in your verse, very and usually very elegantly, very tenderly. And you've got the sound of a soft flight of rose leaves until the golden dew of dawn blazed her dreamy eyes. The delicacy of this, the east floats on the very rose petals that it speaks of. It's a very misty musing. It's a lovely interpretation of the prompt that carries the reader between the sky and the limpid heart as the artwork washes over the verse. So you've taken the verse, and I think you've almost blended the verse with the artwork in such a very skillful and delicate way. It's a beautiful piece. Great brevity.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the beautiful prompt.
Oh, thank you for the beautiful piece.
Thank you.
Bobby, my opinion is you haven't read in a little while. I don't know if you want to read the next one unless you have something else in mind. You haven't. Your turn. Unless
I have
you want
not.
To go somewhere else.
No. I'm just driving the bus. Okay, what did I pick up to poke in here? Let's see. Oh, here we go. The Glow Up Is Real by My Angels 3. So why the hell not? Let's see. Okay. This is interesting. I just want to prep reading with comment about the artwork. Most of the pieces in this particular contest had some kind of image of a face, a profile, a three-quarter, a partial. This I put in deliberately. There is no physiognomy in it. There is no face, and I wanted to see if someone would select this one, and certainly what they wanted to write to this. So this is I'm very interested. When I read this, I thought it was wonderfully done. So this is The Glow Up Is Real by My Angel 3. The whole universe is inside her body. Galaxies traveling in her spirit and stars sparkling in her eyes. You look at her and gaze at her intricacies, insecurities, and power of a million suns. You can't turn away because you don't want to miss anything. You chart out the constellations to her heart that make her an old flickering soul as she's drifting in the black hole of her unhappiness, edging to swallow her whole. She's waiting to be found and pulled out alive without her star dying out. Only when your soul touches her and grabs on to her light will she not lose her brightness and fall to earth. She will then keep rising, traveling to the ends of the cosmos as she discovers the rest of her strength. And they shall name the most brilliant star after her as the moons bow to her name. End poem.
Wow, that was an absolutely beautiful read. Thanks for that. And I love how this person didn't go necessarily cosmic, but did get a person out of this, even though there wasn't necessarily a person's face, you know, vivid there.
Okay,
Bobby,
let's get
you,
some comments.
Okay, I didn't know if you were to say something. Yeah, let's go with Sawa.
I love your read and I love this poem. It's amazing how it like starts with very beautiful imagery and then go to sadness and move up again to very happy. It's a story of someone who, if you look at her, you can see her security. She talks about everything. Like inside of her, you can see the galaxy of her spirit, her eyes, her heart. But she sucked in this hole of unhappiness. It's so sad in this piece. I didn't expect this in the middle, but that's what human beings are. And she's waiting to be found and pulled out alive. Seems like this is written to someone special who will lift her up, and then she will get her strength back again. It's just beautiful how her name will be, her star will be named after her. She took us from one stage to another and back again to the cosmos again. Amazing.
Yeah, great comment. Absolutely.
Okay.
Pam, thoughts, what do you have? Pam, are you there?
She said she'd be right back.
Oh, she did. Okay. All right. Then Gray will go to you.
I mean, you know, she paints a beautiful picture with this of a stunning woman that is filled with the universe and the cosmos and the stars sparkling in her eyes. You look at her and gaze at her intricacies and insecurities and the power of a million suns. You know, that's a powerful spirit that captures that. And they shall name the most brilliant star after her as the moons bow to her name. Just a beautiful poem.
Yeah, I agree. I love that last line as well, too, where it just, you know, it was really a beautiful tribute to who they're writing to. So great, great. Thank you. I think, I'm sorry, did I, Sawa and Lou, I got both of you, right? Or did I miss somebody?
Yes.
First thing to go is the mind.
No,
Lou, so
you.
Sorry about that.
Lou, you.
Yeah. We didn't get Lou. Okay.
No, I thought this was beautifully read. I really enjoyed the imagery. I like it when, the same thing with that other picture, where I go back and look at it. And with this photograph, it is explosive. It's breathing. For me, it was, you know, going along with Gray and everybody else's comments, that, you know, looking in this person's eyes, you can see what's there, what you, that power, the strength, the weaknesses. And for me, it was, to me, like the bottom of the picture where it's like the letter C, and then you start seeing the clouds swirl even onto the other side, where it looks like it's starting to collapse inward, because she realizes that, you know, even though she's searching for that special one to pull her out that makes her feel like she can breathe and alive, she collapses inward to search within herself, you know, which the inner strength, when you go back and you look at everything in your life, how you, your weaknesses, you know, you learn a different path to take. And so, you know, by the time that she emerges and understands herself, the beauty of her just explodes. This was gorgeous. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, great, great, great comments. Awesome, awesome. And Bobby, I don't know if you want to comment, and then we'll see if Pam is back.
I really was, as Gray said, impressed that here is someone who took, the writer took a visual image that has no real resemblance to anything human or physical, and yet from this, and let's, I think Sawa made the same comment, from this they conjured this universe, almost like a cosmology, like a nature, mm-hmm. just in Hinduism, the cosmology inside of this person, mm-hmm. and they see this burgeoning universe inside her, the intricacies, insecurities, and the power of a million suns. I think is an absolutely inspired interpretation of the prompt. I mean, I would have looked at this and never would have occurred to me to write of the cosmology of a person in the inside of them. You chart out the constellations to her heart that make her an old flickering soul as she's drifting in the black run happiness, edging to swallow her whole. And it's talking in terms of emotions of this person, and yet still they're making references to the universe. This is such a beautiful blend, a transcendental blend of science and spirituality and romance and emotionalism. This is a really well done piece.
Yeah, I agree. I really love, you know, galaxies traveling in her spirit and stars sparkling in her eyes. Just being able to see that inside of this woman is beautiful. Absolutely. And the lovely and talented, beautiful, and universal Pam is back as we're speaking about that.
Wow, that was quite a welcome back.
There you go. Well, we're excited to have you back.
Well, I think this is just absolutely brilliant. I love how it looks at the deeper of a person, the inner beauty, and uses the cosmos as an extended metaphor for how
yes.
it comes out of the darkness. So beautifully written and very well done.
Great comment.
Thank you, Pam. Absolutely. And believe it or not, we are in the last half hour of our show already, so let's keep going and see what we can get done here. We are cranking along.
Yes, we are. I'm glad you. I was just looking at the clock and thinking those very thoughts. Okay. I think we have another SoundCloud shifting around up here at the top. for our very own, I'm looking for it here, Eric Svensson and his one of his wonderful reads. So we have a SoundCloud. Let's go ahead and, while I'm trying to pick up this link and my cursor is fighting with me, let's go ahead and play that SoundCloud, please.
All right.
Yeah.
True colors, billow blow, cosmic swill upon a pillow, dream colors genuflect, your pensive effigy clearly etched, prophetic moment continues, restful rise and fall of chest, silver cord enables walkabout in the astral realm. Effervescence of colors celebrates. Dream seams construct cathedrals. Consecration of your autistic mind. Mind synapses paint. Explosion of striking tints. Hints of mystical meanderings. Holy festival of colors in India. Swirls the cosmic upon a dream pillow. Tints rocket explode. Billow blow kisses. Love ambushed us. Caught us unaware as we hurled blue powder at each other. Red, yellows, and greens followed. Laughter's bravado echoed. Boomerang returned in colored powder clouds. Cupid's arrows hit two revelers right between the eyes. Silver soul cord extends further. Dream awareness intensifies. Heart choices eclipse mind shenanigans, just as your sublime countenance does now. Yeah, where I walk through color clouds. Centrifugal celebration begets G-force galaxies. Two hearts broke at a new dawn. Never dreamt such vibrancy before. Sepia meanders through low-lit labyrinths. Muted mazes upon wind-swept moors. Until India's holy festival revealed our true colors. Silver cord oscillates, somersault jettison jigs, your buoyant breeze laughter sizzles. Artist hands tweak the red kite string. Gentle tug, silvery line pulled back down to earth. Dawn breaks through curtain billow blow. Gentle pillow talks begin. Exploration of our true colors. End poem.
That was a great read, Eric, thanks to the SoundCloud. And I love that this talks about the Holi Festival of Colors, which kind of celebrates the springtime coming, I believe, in India. So I thought that was great. I could talk about this one for hours, but since I like all of you, I'm going to spare you that, and we will go to Gray. Gray, your thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought he did a wonderful SoundCloud on this. And, you know, this has a dreamlike quality to it, you know, where dawn breaks through the curtain, billow blow, gently pillow talk begins, exploration of our true colors. You know, you can picture all this as it happens, as he writes it. Cosmic swirl upon a pillow, dreamlike colors genuflect, your pensive energy, your effigy clearly etched, prophetic moment continues, restful rise and fall of chest, silver cord enables walkabout in the astral realm. Yeah, just a beautiful poem, and I really like that connotation to India's Holi Festival, which is the festival of love, of spring, of colors, and I thought it was just beautifully crafted, well written.
Yeah, Gray, I think you're right with the dreamlike quality. You can see that in the person's face in the picture as well, too. So, yeah, he did a great job with that. Salwa, what's happening?
I agreed. I agree. I saw, like, you took us from stage to dream, how to wake up after dawn, and how even love in the dream bring two hearts together. Cupid arrows hit two reverse night between the eyes at night. All of this magic happened at night in the dream, where they put the head on the pillow. It's just incredible. And then dawn breaks through curtain below, blow, gentle pillow, talks begin. After this dream, they wake up and talk about this beauty that they saw in their dreams with true colors. How beautiful is that? And I like the connotation of India, too. It's just so rich, and rich, all the way.
Great comment, Sola. Yeah, absolutely. He has that line. Okay. Silver soul cord extends further. Dream awareness intensifies. So, yeah, I agree with you. Beautiful. And Luyu, what are you doing?
What I liked about this was, the colors and how he expressed it with the festivals, the traditions of man, and then the festivals and traditions also the ancient people where they travel in this astral realm. And, you know, what I liked was how he brought out when you're in this realm, the colors that are around you, how in your dreams, the corridors, the rooms, the doors that, you know, that she's building these huge cathedral of memories from our artistic mind. And then what I liked was then how he got into the motion of love, where it says that there were billow kisses, love ambushed us, caught us unaware as we hurled blue powder at each other. And you can just literally see, you know, because they paint this, their, you know, their arms, their legs, the cement, you know, the different colors that they use. And, you know, and then what I loved was he said, then we use red, yellow, and green followed. You know, you can just see it lightly being blown into the air and how it blends in. And then what, this was my favorite line because it, he says this lowered also, but he says laughter, bravado echoed. And, you know, just, I could see all these bright colors and them laughing and the love between them. And it just made the photograph so vibrant. Beautiful poem.
Yeah, I agree. The phrase laughter's bravado is very, very interesting. That stuck out to me as well, too. So thanks, Louis. Excellent comment. Pam, how's it going over there?
So far, so good. And I have to say, this is just absolutely a beautiful write. As always, a top-notch quality from Eric. Strong imagery, really nice, gentle flow to the alliteration. And I like how several have mentioned that it has a dreamlike quality. But I also like how it has such a celebratory quality. It's so festive in the way that it not only celebrates colors, but the uniqueness of each individual. So beautifully written and very well done.
Excellent, excellent comment. And, of course, as always, back to Bobby bringing up the rear with us playing the cymbals, as she said earlier.
I like the comments that I've heard. Are just, I think that they're wonderfully captured, what he said. It's a very sensory-rich a poem. It talks about, obviously, the colors. How apropos that he has picked the Holi Festival, because that is this month. I believe it's 18 March. So I think it's his timeliness on that is wonderful. But he talks about silver cords and silk and blue powders and the different colors. Such a vibrant written piece to reflect the picture that he's selected. And again, like I said, I've heard very dreamlike quality, very ethereal, reds, yellows, and greens caught us unaware as we hurled blue powder at each other. I think he's really done a very, very fine job of expressing not only what he sees in this particular piece of artwork, but also the emotions that it generates for him, and how wonderfully rich this piece of poetry is.
Yeah, absolutely. So, what are we doing now?
Hey, we are on the home stretch because we got about 15 minutes left. I actually just got someone permission just now. He goes, "I'm sorry, I'm late." I said, "Better late than not at all." So, yes, absolutely. I don't mind. Last one in the fence here. We've got Satellite Pulse by Diane D, and I'm going to pop that in here right now. Whoops. Put it in there for some paste. There we go. There we go.
By Diane D, okay. Again, I'm completely lost on my readers, but Lou, I don't think you've read for a little while. Do you want to read one?
Yes, it'd be my honor. Twilight Waltz by Diane D. Where in the twilight of her eyes, skimmed aura of the skies, her lips of red disclosed her cries, for in the blush streaks chaos lies. From her temples seeps pain, a furrowed brow depicted shame. In blues of rust her will is stained, her cuts are gone, but scars remain. She revolved a promise not to tell. She lost herself. He raped her will. On even days the tears would swell. She dwelled within the private hell. In auburn roots she took a stance to trudge outside her cotton trance, to flee the ball, to dance the dance. She gave the hush another chance. Her sorrow ebbed in cobalt blue. In drips of ink she paid her dues. She found her courage in the hues. This final waltz was her to choose. And poem.
Wow, that was a great,
beautiful read.
Excellent.
Yeah,
absolutely. What a deep poem. And I love the rhyming scheme. The rhymes are actually perfect. Great job with that. And let's go to Sawa.
This is really kind of sad and mix of feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who let go, trying to let go of the pain. From her temple seeped the pain, third brow depicted shame. And there is shame too. I don't know if it's literally someone who's been verbally raped or really literally raped. It's hard to tell. But if either way, it's just painful. You can feel how, I mean, this is really, as you said, shame, and how it's swelling, so dwelled within the private hell. It's so heart-wrenching, you can feel, and the repetition and the way she, the cadence of the rhyme, reinforced this again and again. But then the end, to flee the ball, to dance the dance, she gave the hush another chance, and she chose to have her final waltz in her own choice. There's strength at the end, and really moved me deeply. Beautiful read. You brought the emotion beautifully. Do you? Made me emotional now. Really beautiful.
Thank you, Sawa.
Thanks, Sawa. Yeah, it was an awesome read. It really was. And yeah, for her to get that out of this, the woman's face, to get all that out of there was really great, amazing. It is very, you know, it's a very dark, interesting poem. Great.
Yeah, Lou, you did a stunning read on that. And the poem itself it's dark and it's painful, but, you know, there is a glimmer of hope at the end, which is she found her courage in the hues. This final waltz was hers to choose. Yeah, just a beautiful poem.
Absolutely. Thanks, Gray. Pam.
Yeah, this is beautiful, wonderful rhyme and flow, powerful lines that speak on somebody getting stolen their self-worth from them and then finding it back, finding the ability to make a choice for themselves. It's dark and it's haunting, but it's so beautifully written all the way through and very well done.
Absolutely. Thanks, Pam. And Lee, you did such a beautiful job reading it. What did you get out of it?
Yeah, for me, this was deeply sad. And, because it talks about the life that she's living in, you know, the chaos, the lies steeped in pain, that she's deeply scarred and that she lives in this private hell, and at night, when you're alone or you get some time by yourself and you're allowed to dream, your mind thinks of things when you're in nature and you get strength from it. And for me, I see a peacock in this picture with its head turned looking at her with the blue wings hanging down. And then finally she realizes in the end that cobalt blue is just like the strength of a bird that gets, that takes flight when it's being injured. She finally got the courage to take flight. So that's how I saw it.
Well, it's an amazing take. I can see that with the peacock in there now. So, and I was kind of thinking the same thing with the picture. Like, this is obviously a very sad, deep poem, but I can kind of see that last stanza in the picture. So, very interesting. Great comment. And Bobby, comment and taking us to the new place.
Yeah, because we have 4 pieces left. So I think we expedite. I agree with Pam. This is a beautifully written piece. The rhyme scheme is very melodic. It is a very powerful piece. The emotion is just, it leaps out of each stanza. And I think Sawa made the comment that it starts out sad, but it has a positive ending. I think Grace said the same thing. Her sorrow ebbed in cobalt blues and drips of ink. She paid her dues. She found her courage in the hues.
Mm-hmm.
Final waltz was hers to choose. Again, the image of the colors is woven in here so beautifully, taken from the artwork. So I think that this is a superb write. Absolutely beautiful.
Absolutely. Yeah, let's see what we can get through. If we don't get to everyone's poem, we'll certainly do it. Do some carryovers. Remember, it's every other week, so if we do a carryover, it'll be 2 weeks from now. But where are we going next? And I can give
that word. We're damn close.
For a while. We are very close.
Let's see. We'll do Tie Dye Tears by Incubus.
Oh, excellent. And I will give it a read. Tie Dye Tears. Memories like ink droplets drip from the cracked pipette of my fragile mind, creating an endless swirling microcosmos within the stained wine glass of my own pooling tears, stardust studded with bleed out, dissipating personal pain, leaked secrets and vibrancy of colorful language as the white dwarf inside my subconscious implodes, forming a black hole from which I fear I can never escape. Trapped amongst my own scattered thoughts as they gravitate towards better times, now made forever bittersweet as the glass slowly overflows, tie-dyeing my finite fractured future with the ache of loss from all my wasted years. And very deep, bro. Somebody looking at themselves here, in a very, very deep way. Amazing poem. Nice job. And let's go to Gray. Do we still
Hello,
have Gray? Did he step out?
He might be on mute.
Yeah, I was mutated. I'm sorry. But no, you did a wonderful read on that.
Yeah.
And, the poem itself is just a beautiful poem. It's chock-a-block with imagery and emotions, and I just thought it was wonderfully penned.
Excellent. Thank you, Gray. Sawa, what's your thoughts?
Very deeply emotive. You can feel, another one who was looking inside, like you said. I love the imagery, how he led the pain as a pain dropping, like ink dropping from his fragile mind. with the vibrance of colorful language. Yet it's so sad. There is fear trapped in his mind, and when you feel trapped in your mind, your thoughts take you everywhere, and you don't know. You want to escape it, and that's what he did. My finite fracture future with the ache of loss from old wasted years. You come to the realization that you have to move on, even though that's painful.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, just looking into yourself, the emotions that you can get are, you know, very deep. Sometimes you have to have those conversations with yourself. So great comment. And Liu.
What I liked here was where he put the word wine, where he says in his author notes that it is an intended play on wine and own pain. So for me, he's somewhere where he's drinking, you know. And, you know, for me, it was like he was looking inside the glass, the wine, you know, when you move it, how it swirls, how it makes shadows, depending where you're at, what you see. And what happens is it becomes like a mirror. And you start seeing, you know, you're just like, you're miserable, so you're drinking. And, you know, it says that you're hoping that it's going to dissipate the personal pain, the leaked secrets, whatever those were. And then, you know, that point where you realize, oh, man, I screwed up so bad. And that's where I got, as the white dwarf inside my subconscious implodes, deforming a black hole. Like, for me, it was that desperation. I'm sinking, I'm drowning, I'm not going to be able to get out of this. And then he talks about that now made forever bittersweet as the glass slowly overflows. And, you know, he just keeps drinking and keeps looking inside this glass. But I'll let somebody else comment. This was totally fascinating.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to have to read this a couple more times, I think, to get all of it. But great comment, Blue. Thank you. And Pam, your thoughts.
Yeah, I thought this is a beautiful, heartfelt write on reflecting on inner pain and the memories that caused the spirit to hurt. And I really liked it all the way through, but especially as the white dwarf inside my subconscious implodes, forming a black hole from which I fear I can never escape. Just strong lines there, and very well done.
Awesome comment. Thanks, Pam. And Bobby, if you want to wrap us up here.
I'm going to take a bye so we can squeeze another piece in here. We have Madonna, I Rose Winter 515.
Excellent. And Gray, if you want to give us that, let's take a look here. Give us a quick read on that one. That'd be great.
Okay, this is by Rose Winter 515, and it's called Madonna. Madonna, my life, my child, me. I am myself, nobody else. Colors of my mind, nobody shall know, because only the universe sees what can be done for the world where disharmony rules, but not okay. Whither shall we go now? Please tell me. Is it safe to stay? We have been warned. Leave immediately. Why? What has happened? A few weeks ago we came on donkeys, but where are they? Who will give shelter? Who will comfort our children? Who will stand for us? We who have nothing, seek your help. We are your neighbors and friends. The star guides us now. We are journeying abroad. We are leaving home. We may never be able to return to our homeland. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your prayers. Join our heartfelt pleas for peace around the world, everywhere, everyone, forevermore. End poem.
Great read. Yeah, and a great, you know, topical way to end the show, I think, tonight for all our people over in Russia and Ukraine that are suffering through what's going on. Let's have some quick comments here. Sawa?
Yes, I agree. It was a great read, and it just really move you deep inside how those children and family get become almost like displaced from their home, not knowing they can come back because of wars. That's so sad. I hate wars. This has really touched me deeply.
Absolutely. And Liu, maybe if you can give us a quick last comment and we'll wrap it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this, you know, there's a lot of questioning of these people that are going through this type of life, You know, they want to go home, and they, you know, they, that's, you know, just like they said, they just want to go home to their homeland. Good regray.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes.
And
this is
yeah.
The, this is the author said that she was not only affected by the artwork, but she had Rod Stewart's music and Enya's music and lyrics going through her mind when she wrote this. And this is from prompt 8, which is looks like the melted crayons. So it's interesting how she's invoked not only the artwork, but it reminded her of some music as well. So that's truly ecstatic and a great way to wrap up the evening. And we're done. It's straight up 12. So,
thank you, everybody, for joining. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Excellent show.
Excellent show.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone. Thank you. Have a great
night. Good
night,
everybody. Much love.
All righty. In 2 weeks.
Good night, all.